Good evening. As I often say, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to present a lesson tonight. In fact, the songs that we're saying and also Alan's prayer will be appropriate, I think, as a platform to my lesson. As far as the song of invitation, you probably want to keep those available. It shouldn't be real long. There are numerous problems that need to be corrected in the Lord's church today, but perhaps none more than the problem of procrastination. So often the resources are available, the fields are white unto harvest, and the opportunities abound, but the laborers are few, as is stated in Matthew chapter 9. Why is this? Is it because so many are unaware of their responsibility to serve? Is it because those who are aware of their responsibility lack the ability to serve? Or could it be that the majority of folks know their responsibility, have the necessary abilities to render effective service unto God, but just never get around to using those talents? A survey of the scriptures demonstrates that the latter suggestion is the most accurate in assessing the lack of effort being expended by some of God's people today. In other words, we as God's people often have a tendency to procrastinate. I know I do. Webster defines procrastination or procrastinate as follows: to put off intentionally or habitually, to put off intentionally and reprehensibly the doing of something that should be done. So the question is, do we as God's people ever intentionally put off something that should be done, and that to the detriment of the cause of Christ? Well, to ask the question is to answer it. We need to once again hear the surprise in the Master's question, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" As Jesus asked that in Matthew 20, verse 6. So tonight, in this lesson, I want to cover three things: overcoming procrastination because of the need, overcoming procrastination because of the perils, and overcoming procrastination, the prescription. The need for overcoming procrastination. The obvious: some are guilty because of procrastination because they're just too lazy. In fact, I happened upon this poem on the internet. It's called The Procrastinator's Poem. It's kind of comical, but I think appropriate. I've gone for a drink and sharpened pencils, searched through my desk for forgotten utensils. I reset my watch, adjusted my chair. I've loosened my tie and straightened my hair. I filled my pen and tested my blotter and gone for another drink of water. Adjusted the calendar and I've raised the blinds, and I've sorted erasers of all different kinds. Now, down to work, I can finally sit. Oops, too late. It's time to quit. I have to say that often, sometimes, describes me during a work day, and unfortunately, sometimes describes me in my spiritual growth as well. And it is a fun poem, and it's comical in nature, but unfortunately, it's very true, and I think we can all find situations where it's applicable to each and every one of us. As Alan said in his prayer, and of course, unbeknownst to what I was going to talk about, you know, it's not that there's a lack of work. There's a great need for work. It's just sometimes too often we put it on the back burner because we're not ready to do it. Well, as this applies to most people in the business world, but the problem of laziness is no less acute among God's people than it is in the business world or professional world. The sacred writings are full of condemnations of laziness, or it's often called slothfulness, and exhortations to work and diligence. I want to look at Proverbs. I'm going to look at several, just short verses, just to kind of illustrate that point. I'm going to start in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. And we'll see that those last two verses kind of echo throughout Proverbs, inappropriately so. So in this, the sluggard is to take lessons from the ant. Of course, we always know the ant is the busy insect. It does so much more than what its size would indicate it's capable of. And so this is an appropriate analogy. But what it's saying is that poverty awaits the lazy man. And in our case, spiritual poverty. Looking on to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. We read, a lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. The slothful man is too lazy to cook what he kills. Do we start things for the Lord, but are too lazy to finish them? Let's move to the next chapter, in chapter 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Of course, the lazy wishes and has nothing, whereas the diligent works and has much. Unfortunately, this obvious analogy is seen also in the church. If we want the Lord's church to grow, we must be diligent to work at it. Otherwise, it's left stagnant and starved for growth. And then the last I'm going to read from Proverbs is Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. The lazy man is never without an excuse. This too, unfortunately, is true in the church. I know that because I'm the king of excuses. I can't tell you how many excuses I came up with that kept me from getting up here to do this or to do other things or whatever the case may be. And you know, they got more and more creative, unfortunately. But I think we all know that we can be guilty of these things. In fact, when I think about that, when I think if there's something that I really wanted to do, there would be nothing that stopped me from getting that done, especially if it was something that was pleasing to myself. And when we think about that, we just have to be we kind of have to put that in retrospect to what God wants us to do and make that our focus so that our aim will be pleasing God, and therefore we put all of our efforts into that. So some are guilty of procrastination because they're too busy. Many today are more concerned about their business than they are the business of the Lord. We read in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the seed. It says, when the seed was sown, they were too busy with the cares of the world, and the word was choked out. How much time do we spend in our professional lives in comparison to how much time we spend in our spiritual lives or our spiritual growth? If we did that comparison and maybe even saw it on a chart, I'm sure we would probably be ashamed and shocked, maybe not shocked, but ashamed in the comparison of what that is. And in saying that, God knows what it is, probably more so than we do. Some are guilty of procrastination because they are too cozy or maybe comfortable. In other words, some who have worked hard in the past in serving the Lord feel comfortable in resting upon their laurels of past achievement. They do not feel compelled to serve now because of their service in the past. It is evident from the scriptures that such an attitude is positively unbiblical. Looking at Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 16, Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained." So let us make sure we realize the great need in overcoming procrastination in our spiritual lives. Second, overcoming procrastination because of the perils. Procrastination is perilous because it robs us of that which can never be regained. Greek mythology portrays an image of Tyne being like a man with long hair in front and bald in the back. And the picture is one you must catch coming towards you, because once it is passed, nothing is left to grab. Paul exhorts us to redeem the time in Ephesians 5:15, kind of a carpe diem in a spiritual context, if you will. An opportunity unused is indeed an opportunity lost. Let us resolve to take advantage of the opportunities presented to us. Procrastination is perilous because it increases the weight of our burdens. When we procrastinate, we get further and further behind. And we do this all too often, or at least I know I do. The realization of how much needs to be done versus what we have done can often escalate our mental anguish. We start thinking things like, we're too far gone, or God will never forgive us for this. And then most tragically, we stop thinking about it at all, and our conscience becomes seared. The longer we put things off, the worse they become. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34 reads, "I pass by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sheep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man." Procrastination is perilous because it is sin that separates us from God. It should be remembered that one can commit sin and be lost not only by violating the thou shalt nots, but also in neglecting the thou shalts. Remember James 4:17. "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." Furthermore, the separation of the goats and the sheep depicted in Matthew 25:31 through 46 is based upon sins of omission rather than the commission of evil acts. Procrastination of the Lord's work will be perilous on an eternal scale. Last, prescription for overcoming procrastination. It's kind of a tongue twister. So how do we fix it? Well, first and foremost, we remember our redemption. The same passage which calls us to be zealous of good works in Titus 2:14 reminds us that Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. The greatest motivation in all the world is to reflect upon how much Jesus loved us and how much he sacrificed. When we see the lengths of his sacrifice for us, we are moved to zealously work for his cause, remembering that he gave all. What else can we do? We can urgently and diligently tackle the task before us. Jesus noted the urgency of his task in John 9:4 when he says, "We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." For many, the greatest time wasted is the time getting started. I know that's applicable to me as well. We hear things like, "I'd give half my life to know the Bible like you." And unfortunately, that's just about what it would cost you. It's a lifetime of commitment. Third, recognize the peace of preparation. The familiar phrase, "I can sleep when the winds blow," of course, this phrase comes from the story of the wise man in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Of course, we know that the wise men built his house up in preparation of the winds to come. And in verse 25 it reads, "And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." Of course, the rock being Christ Jesus. Let us also remember the wise virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. I'm going to take time to read that. Verses 1 through 13 of Matthew 25. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" So five were prepared, five were foolish. The master came and they weren't ready. And then highlighting verse 11, as we just read, they ask him to let them in. And what does he tell them? "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." You know, we can see that, basically that same thought, echoed throughout headlines in the latest news. Sometimes death does come naturally, but oftentimes it doesn't. And we all stretch from a wide variety of ages here, but I can assure you, in the small amount of time I've lived on this earth, one thing I do know, that we don't know the time nor the hour. When we see the value in prior preparation and the peace that in it brings, while also realizing the consequences, we should be less likely to procrastinate. So the bottom line of how do you fix it? Well, you do the exact opposite. You throw yourself into it. And as I said before, and in thinking when I was putting together this lesson, you know, the things that we often procrastinate are things that either we fear or maybe don't know enough about, which leads to fear, or those things which we don't love maybe as much as we should. So in saying that, and I say that to myself, if I'm procrastinating doing God's work, which is it? Sometimes that's a tough answer. So in conclusion, the invitation is obvious. If you're guilty of procrastinating the Lord's work and your spiritual growth, or if you understand what God's will is and have neglected to do so, don't wait any longer, for we don't know the time nor the hour. Why don't you come now if this is applicable to you while we stand and sing?